Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I am Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Barry Sellers, Distinguished Fellow, International Technology and Professionalism Top Authority, Chair, CMP Council, Chief Judge, International Awards for Professionalism, Executive Board Director and Vice Chairman, MPA. Barry, you have a remarkable background with lifetime successes. Thank you for sharing your deep experiences and insights with our audiences.
Thank you, Stephen. I'm honored to have this opportunity to speak with you.
So what triggered your initial interest in technology?
I was always fascinated with computers, even back in the days when you had to build your own kit, well before the Commodore 64 days. It was a hobby I pursued through high school and college, and after a few years in the real world, doing retail management, I had an opportunity to turn my hobby into a profession.
Can you describe your current job roles and lessons that you wish to share?
Sure. My current job role is an infrastructure architect for a Fortune 500 financial institution, where I'm responsible for the architectures, roadmaps, and implementations for our directory services, desktop, collaboration, and messaging environments. I work with industry groups and vendors to find out where technologies are headed, develop roadmaps on when and how we're going to get there, and then garner support from our executives to fund that roadmap.
And do you have any sort of key lessons that, from your broad experiences out there, maybe some tips about your career perhaps or any other things to be successful?
Oh, sure. Some of the key lessons I've learned over the years are, first, never stop learning. Our industry changes so fast, you have to stay on top of it or opportunities will pass you by. As part of that, I've been fortunate that I've been able to average 2 major conferences and 3 or 4 formal classes a year. And, of course, I read industry magazines and books on technology and soft skills. I'm also a big believer in certifications. They offer employers and other industry folks proof that you understand the concepts of a technology. And I've earned an average of 1 new certification of a year, every year, 23 so far. Take advantage of any and all training that your employer or industry group or even vendors are offering. There are often lots of free or low-cost training out there. In the NPA chapter I started, we often had vendors come to our meetings and discuss their technologies, and we maintained a library of training books that any member could take out and use to learn with. Don't forget to check out your local public library for training material as well. The next lesson was soft skills, such as knowing how to do a presentation to different types of audiences, anywhere from a technical group to an executive meeting. How to negotiate and how to influence are also excellent skills to have to move you up the career ladder. The sooner you hone them, the more successful you'll be. Persistence and patience are valuable qualities to have as well. Many times it's taken me up to 2 years to get an agreement and funding for a roadmap. It's been worth it, but it's been a long path sometimes. And breadth of knowledge is better than deep knowledge in a particular single area. It allows you to see the big picture and where your work fits in. It also lets you find opportunities in places that others have overlooked.
So what were your catalysts to your involvement with IT groups?
I was never one to sit on the sidelines and watch. I want to dive in and participate and ended up leading the IT groups I became involved with. It was a case of wanting to find other people who had the same interest as me and the place where we could share problems, solutions, and experiences.
Can you go into more detail about your contributions to IT communities?
Sure. I've always felt that we as an IT community need to give back to the community as a whole. So I do a lot of pro bono work at places like schools, churches, and clubs, such as the YMCA, with the fellow members of our local IT community. The work usually involves things like finding new equipment, doing troubleshooting, helping them with upgrades, and then doing support work. I've also been involved with the Network Professional Association since 1992 and have held basically all the leadership positions from local chapters to international board of directors. Currently, I'm the treasurer for the board of directors for Comenius North America, and I've served since 2004 on the Network Computing Editorial Advisory Board, as well as served as a judge and presenter at their Best of NetWorld Interop Awards ceremony from 2005 to 2008. And as you mentioned, I've been the chief judge since 2003 for the NPA's Awards for Professionalism, as well as presenting at numerous conferences, and I've taught classes at the local community college.
So let's now focus more on the Network Professional Association, because you've got such an amazing long-standing record with that organization. In fact, you're one of the longest-standing members of the NPA, and as you mentioned, holding every position, or pretty much every position within the organization. Can you provide its history and your role in it?
Sure. The NPA started out as a CNEPA in 1991, and it was limited to people who were just Novell CNEs. There were lots of CNEs back then, and there were over 100 chapters. I founded the chapter in Shreveport, Louisiana, and was president until I left to take my current job. I was also involved in the chapter president conferences and the NPA or CNEPA's national conference, and was on many of the board of directors committees. In 1994, the organization changed its name to the NPA and opened its membership up to all the industry certifications. In 1996, I joined the International Board of Directors as treasurer and have held all the positions of the board, including when I was chairman in 1997. I was one of the first CNP certified professionals back when it started out in 1996, and I was critical in reviving the CNP in 2005 and have led the charge to continue its validity today.
So you talk about the CMT, the Certified Network Professional Designation. Can you sort of expand that and maybe talk about your views on professionalism?
Sure. The CMT was the first attempt that I'm aware of that we were trying to get an industry-neutral kind of certification. So we took on insisting that people had at least two different kinds of certifications. At least two vendors, and we have a very strong position on professionalism. In fact, we have a ethics document that everyone must sign when they join the CNP. You also have to have a minimum of 3 years of experience to get the CNP, so that the employers or the people that want to hire a CNP have a knowledge that they are experienced and they do understand at least the concepts that the vendors wanted to try get across in their certification. It's been very successful for us. And the professionalism point has been something that we are trying to, right now, move out into its own mini-certification that many colleges have said that they were very interested in doing. It just discussed what professionalism is and how to maintain it. The program that we were starting to work on is the Associate Certified Network Professional, and hopefully we'll get this rolled out very soon.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that professionalism encapsulates some sort of skills development backed by some education leading to professional certification, in this case the Certified Network Professional, and encompassed within that whole sort of sphere is adherence to a code of ethics, continuing demonstrated professional development, and that comprises this picture of professionalism.
Yes. My personal view on professionalism also includes giving back to the community, i.e. doing community service or pro bono work.
And then you're saying there's really two levels now of the Certified Network Professional, the full CMP or Certified Network Professional, and then an associate entry sort of certification to get into the full certification.
Correct.
So you are now currently the chair of the CMP Council, that is the Certified Network Professional Council. Can you describe the CMP and its value?
The CNP as a certification gives an employer or a potential client the knowledge and security that you understand the basics of the vendor certifications you have, that you have experience, that you have a strong belief in ethics and a continuing education quest. It's valuable, it has proven valuable for me with my employers and clients in that it's gotten me to places that I wouldn't have normally gotten into.
You're the chief judge for the awards for professionalism and have been for a number of years, really the global industry's only awards of this kind. Can you profile the history of the awards, the partners, and the next award cycle?
The history is that we started the awards for professionalism because there was really nothing out there that recognized folks for doing amazing stuff in the industry. We have various partners over time. One of our big partners has been Network Computing, Pearson, and Microsoft. They've backed us almost with every one of these awards. We do this annually, and it's done at in conjunction with the NetWorld Interop. The announcement, at least, is done in conjunction with the NetWorld Interop conference.
So you're saying then that the global awards for professionalism have been out for a number of years. I believe the first one came out in 2002, and you've had a number of partners like Pearson Publishing, which is the world's largest educational publisher, Microsoft Novell has judged, been on the judging panel. Network Computing Magazine, Network World Magazine, Communists is a partner, and others as well, all sort of really providing the only awards for professionalism which has this sort of global scope and really the industry's only awards of this kind.
Yeah.
So what is the value in working with professional organizations?
The value, from my perspective, is that first you get like-minded folks together, and we get to work through our problems. Oftentimes I've found a problem that I've had, someone else has already experienced and has an answer to. And the benefit of sharing experiences between groups, different folks, you know, this is how we've done it. It also is great to introduce new folks who are just entering the industry into what can be done and what has been done, as well as through a mentoring methodology for those folks. It also, from a bigger picture, a national or international perspective, it lends credence to that you want to support the industry and to accomplish things that are much bigger than just your local area.
So before we leave this whole area of the MPA and professionalism and so forth, where can people find out more information about the MPA, that is the Network Professional Association, and the CNP, the Certified Network Professional Designation?
The MPA has a website. It's at www.npa.org, as well as the CNP has a website, www.cnp.org. They both have excellent information and applications available on those sites.
And of course, the audience can find out more about the awards for professionalism, which are international in scope.
Absolutely.
And I believe in 2002, the advertising for the awards, I think, it went out in Network World, Network Computing, to over 100 countries, something like that. So
definitely.
So it's a great opportunity for individuals, corporations, and IT groups to showcase their excellence to the world community. In fact, the awards for professionalism were announced in the Communist newsletter, which again goes out to over 100 countries. So a huge audience was able to look at the excellent work done by people out there in the IT community.
Also, with the awards, there is no requirement that members only do it. Anybody can nominate anybody else. So it's open for nomination.
So really, truly, the industry's only awards of its kind because it spans any kind of technology and so on.
Yes.
So let's talk about IT in general. How would you describe your top innovative achievements in terms of the problems you're trying to solve, your solutions, and the impact it has today and into the future?
A lot of the innovative achievements I've accomplished, in my latest job anyway, were a matter of going out and doing research on what's available and how other people have implemented it, the solutions. Because of where I work, we have a constantly changing environment, and so we have to keep coming up with innovative solutions to meet the business needs. And the impact of this is that, it's a lot of fun. I have a great deal of fun learning new stuff and solving problems, and it's always something new. So it's a constant challenge, and I just enjoy it. As to the future, I hope I keep doing this sort of stuff as long as I have a career, and it's just something I really enjoy. My wife has actually put it, I shouldn't have this much fun in a career.
Well, Barry, you have this, again, it's a tremendous history of success, so you have the opportunity to look at what are the available resources out there, sift through them, kind of find out what the gems are. So what are your recommendations for the best job resources for IT professionals?
Honestly, the best resource I've found is the local IT community. For me, the NPA has always done wonderful for me to help find my next job or a new client. There are people out there in the community that are aware of these things that never get posted anywhere. That's one of the best resources. Another excellent resource is the job boards run by the NPA and the professionalism, other professional organizations. I would personally kind of stay away from places like monster.com and that if you want to have a good chance of getting a job.
So you're really saying that there's a lot of value in networking or collaborating with other like-minded people and sharing, you know, job opportunities and ideas and sharing sort of what are the challenges out there and what are the solutions.
Absolutely.
What are your suggestions for managing the economic challenges of today?
Well, everybody has to work with a smaller budget, and which really means we have to come up with innovative and efficient solutions. Also, not just from a budget, but from a personal perspective. I know everybody got less money to go do training and vacations even, but there are lots of opportunities to do low-cost or even free training out there to further your career.
It sounds like the local chapter or of the professional organizations are a great way of sort of managing the economic challenges.
Indeed. They have lots of resources available.
You know, there's a lot of churn occurring in the marketplace, so how do you personally manage change?
I approach it as an opportunity. It's because the business I'm in, we are in constant change. It really hasn't been a huge factor for what we do. We just have to work at more efficient and effective solutions.
We've already touched on this somewhat, but I want you to explore it maybe in a little bit more detail. What are the best ways for making connections?
I still come back to networking through professional organizations. I've met some of the best people I know through the NPA and through Colmenus. The quality of folks has been wonderful. They're more than willing to share. Relationships are extraordinarily important in this industry, especially if you want to get ahead and if you want to have access to, you know, relevant and current information.
As a prominent leader, what were your greatest challenges and how did you overcome them?
The biggest challenges I had were, frankly, when I was the chapter leader, managing what's going to be delivered in the next meeting, trying to manage getting vendors in, oftentimes even to the point where we did lunch meetings as well, what we were going to do, where we were going to go for that. There's a lot of coordination there, and I had a lot of help from the other folks that were in the leadership positions at the NPA. They all stepped up and took a portion of what we needed to do, and we all got it accomplished. We also had built up a very successful library of training materials, of which once a person took a class, they would usually donate their books to this library, and so it grew very quickly, a very relevant library.
Barry, because of the way, you know, you've sort of situated in the marketplace, you're a prominent leader, you're being a superb professional out there, widely acknowledged for your expertise, you hold so many certifications. Can you sort of look into your crystal ball and make predictions for the future and talk about their implications and how we can best prepare?
I think the best way that you can prepare for the future, of course, is continuing learning, not just technical skills, but soft skills. As I've risen the corporate ladder, just knowing how to do an effective presentation to different groups. When coming up the ladder, I knew pretty well how to talk to other technical professionals, but I had to spend a lot of time learning how to present to executives and what they needed to hear as opposed to what a technical person needed to hear. So we need to really make sure that education piece remains on the forefront.
What do you see as the top challenges facing us today, and how do you propose they be solved?
The top challenges there are many. There are the economic challenges, of which you have less funding to accomplish things for work. You have less folks to do the work. We have to become more efficient and more effective in what we do. There are, of course, the ongoing technical challenges of things are changing rapidly. It's an exciting industry. We're doing things now that we haven't been able to do before. So those things you need to stay on top of to meet the effective, both cost-effective and efficient moving forward. And the final challenge, I think, would be, goodness, let me think on this for a second. Simply getting out, the final challenge is getting out and being a part of the community, both in a professional methodology and in a just giving back to the community as a whole.
You know, Barry, you're so strong in the community and so strong in terms of volunteering to organizations, like leading the Network Professional Association, which is an international organization, being in a leadership role with the Communist Organization, which again is an international organization, alliance of hundreds of IT groups and associations representing millions of IT professionals. And you're very strong in this whole area of professionalism and certification and ensuring that there's common standards and best practices and code of ethics and this idea of professionalizing the profession, you know, and having demonstrated continued professional development. There's this really interesting area that's occurred in the last few years, and it's from the UN-founded International Federation for Information Processing, or IFIP, and they launched an IP3 program, which is the International Professional Practice Partnership Program, in 2009, which is about global certification professionalism. Can you provide your views on that and how that kind of meshes with what you're doing in terms of the CMP and about creating a profession and professionalizing the profession?
Sure. My views on where I wanted to take the CMP since its beginning has been to along the same path that the IP3 certification is, trying to get a baseline a level of excellence into the industry where similar to what the U.S. has with the CPA, but have it, the CMP, was my vision, was at least for the U.S., but the IP3 is that for the international scale. We've actually aligned the CNP with many different organizations, such as the BCS and KIPPS, already. So we're trying to move along those lines where they're equivalent certifications. I think the IP3 certification is the perfect way to go. It gives the world something to point at and say, you know, this person knows what they're doing.
Well, for the audience, they may not be familiar with the BCS or KIPPS. So BCS is the British Computer Society, and KIPPS is the Canadian Information Processing Society. So you're saying that if a person has a designation from the Canadian Information Processing Society or one from the British Computer Society, and they can then apply for their CMP through the MPA, there's sort of a fast-track qualification process rather than the more arduous, lengthy process required to get the full certification from the MPA. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
So sort of a recognition of the value of those credentials, and then in terms of more easily getting this Certified Network Professional designation. You know, I guess we didn't really explore this, but how does one get the CMP?
Well, there are a couple of different paths to get it. The most typical path is that you have at least a certification from from two of the major vendors that are out there. It doesn't have to be networking. It can be any technical certification. Then you have to have some basic level of networking and computer knowledge that's tested by one of our base tests. They're not terribly difficult, but they do test that you know some basic knowledge about the industry, especially if you have non-core certifications. The other piece is you have to have 3 years of work experience at least to accomplish this. There is the capability of exchanging formal education for certifications as well. There's a point system where the certifications and the formal education are pretty much equivalent. And the other way, the other major way that you can earn that is through 10 years of work experience and, of course, passing the base. We also, you have to sign the ethics statement and agree to abide by that.
And then also commit to what? Continuing demonstrated professional development?
Oh, yeah. You have an annual commitment of 100 points worth of continuing education. The points are based on the kinds of education you can do, whether it's self-study or formal class teaching. There are lots of opportunities. You can even write a book or write a paper that count towards that.
Well, Barry, we've come to the end of the interview, so I know your schedule is very demanding, so, you know, we are indeed fortunate to have you come in to do this interview, and thank you for sharing your substantial wisdom with our audience.
Thank you, Stephen.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Barry Sellers, MPA Distinguished Fellow, International Technology and Professionalism Top Authority, Chair of the CMP Council, Chief Judge of the International Awards for Professionalism, Executive Board Director and Vice Chairman of the Network Professional Association, and Treasurer of the North American Board of Commonwealth.